Let's get ready to stay doomed! Can you smell what Stay Doomed is cooking? Finish the Stay Doomed? Acknowledge Stay Doomed!
I mean, the one thing we usually don't get to do on Stay Doomed is finish the story.
Oh.
It's a lot of unfinished stories here on Stay Doomed.
I wish I'd had the idea to do that merch before now.
But yes, here we are, just 2 days removed from an absolutely insane WrestleMania week. I was calling it WrestleMania weekend, but it wasn't. It was a week.
I'm tired.
And I'm tired, and you're tired, and our listeners want Stay Doomed, so we will give you...
Guys, guess what? There's been no cars, and then as soon as...
It's been so loud!
Friends, we've been attempting to record this for like an hour.
Yeah. Maybe that'll stay in. Who knows? In any case... We are a few days removed from our crazy WrestleMania week, and believe it or not, we didn't sit down to watch a show that ran one season or less.
Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. We didn't sit down.
I did very little sitting, and we thought we would just discuss what happened over this WrestleMania week. So I hope you guys enjoy that. We usually do, like, something for WrestleMania. We've covered quite a few WrestleManias.
Yeah, because usually something has gone catastrophically wrong.
Yeah. WrestleMania tends to be a harbinger of disaster here at Stay Doomed. And then we have to refocus, and now here we are.
Yep.
So let's talk about it. Let's talk about... We've not really discussed how we're going to format this podcast, but we are going to... discuss the going-ons of all the madness that went down. Do you want to start at WrestleJohn?
Sure. Our first show of WrestleMania week was Sean Henderson Presents and Labor of Love co-presented two shows back-to-back, and the first one was WrestleJohn, which was on Wednesday night.
Yes. I think first thing I want to say is shout-out to Attic Brewing.
Attic Brewing. I have never... been involved with a venue that wanted to help so much.
Yes.
Laura, who is one of the people who works there, literally attempted to give me the coat off her back.
Yeah.
Because if you were in this area on Wednesday last, you may have noticed it was cold and raining.
Yes. So.
And a little bit of lightning for flavor.
Yeah. So I guess a good way to start this is... The show was an outdoor show at Attic Brewing, and Wednesday of WrestleMania week was a watery mess.
It wasn't raining.
It was pouring.
It was like storm of the century, horizontal rain, lightning in April.
Yeah.
It was absurd.
And... There was actually talk of moving the show for, like, a little bit.
Yes, moving the show. There was talk of, like, moving the show to another venue, but also talk about moving the show indoors.
Yeah.
Which would have been tight.
Yeah, inside of Attic Brewing is... They have a good deal of space, but a wrestling ring takes up a lot of space.
There's a good deal of space, and then there's the amount of space that you would need for that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, there's a reason a lot of federations do not run during January, February, March.
Yeah.
And that is why.
Yes. So, luckily...
Attic got a tent.
We got a tent.
And, like, not, like, a little, like, sad craft fair tent. Like, one of those, like, real good event tents.
Yeah. Like, you could have a wedding in.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you. I was expecting a canopy.
I was not expecting it to be like an event-style tent.
Because a
wrestling
ring... I
wasn't sure what it was going to be.
A wrestling ring is usually somewhere between 14 by 14 and 18 by 18. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was a 18-foot ring?
It was a big ring.
And I was solely imagining a tent slightly bigger than the ring. Like, perhaps even going into the ring posts. that would only cover the ring and the fans just standing out in the cold and the rain. But that was not the case. It was a beautiful tent.
No, it was, it fit, you know, it fit the audience, it fit the crew, it fit the ring. Attic Brewing, I do not have enough nice things to say about them.
Yeah. And their beer is good.
Yes. I personally didn't really get to have any. I had their Irish Stout on another occasion when they did the Big Dan Champion beer release a few weeks prior. But I was working, so I only had Shirley Temple's.
Yeah. I bought a case of their Big Dan Champion beer, and it's great. It's an IPA that's very light and very drinkable. Very Founders All Day IPA, if you can, if you're a beer person. And Laura was doing the show running.
Mm-hmm.
I was Scott Holiday in the commentary role. And on the call, rotating in and out, was Joey T and Mike Roch.
Mm-hmm.
And the three of us rocked this show. And it should be mentioned that I had a special suit for every show.
Every single show.
For pretty much every show, I was not seen.
Yeah. So I believe you were Loki on WrestleJohn.
Yes, I had a Loki suit. So it was a green suit with like a gold tie. And I was in like a hallway where no one could see me. The other two commentators were just in their clothes because why bother?
Yeah.
And we called the action, which is available now on IWTV. And it was a fantastic show.
And if you see me, no, you didn't.
Oh, we saw you. I believe I mentioned you on commentary.
No! Oh, you know what? Yes, because you do see me. LJ Cleary enters like three times and has me
close the curtain
for him.
Yeah, so you were definitely spotted.
No!
I was like, I think that's Laura Crane.
Do not perceive me.
You were perceived.
No!
Some really fantastic matches, a couple like emotional spots for me.
The Labor of Love Citywide Championship title match, right in the feels.
Yes, it was Weber Hatfield versus the world famous Cheeseburger, who if you are an ROH fan, you may know Cheeseburger as the master of the palm strike that he learned from Jushin Thunder Liger. And it was the end of a tournament to crown a new Citywide champion. And in their careers, neither men have held a singles championship.
That's so strange to me.
Especially with Cheeseburger.
Like, I know Weber is primarily a tag. Like, he usually tags with Shay McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
I was so surprised to find out Burger had not.
I mean, I see Cheeseburger as like such a legend who has done so much in this business. And I remember we were working on a CFU show. And Burger and I were just in the ring. And CFU is always in a cage. And we're in the ring. We're just kind of like making sure everything was safe. And I heard Burger say, "Never had one of these." I was like, "You've never owned a cage?" He's like, "I've never had a cage match." And I was like, "You've never had a cage match? You're the world famous Cheeseburger." So for both of them to have this match that was fantastic and so emotional.
Oh my gosh.
Was really something special.
And in the end, I don't know if we want to say it. Who wins them?
I mean, if you're listening to this and you have IWTV, you can pause here.
Yeah.
But
spoilers for WrestleJohn.
Spoilers for WrestleJohn. It's out and over, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to spoil WrestleMania too.
When Cheeseburger wins the title and several representative students of the Worldwide Dojo come in and kneel.
Yeah.
I am behind a curtain crying.
Yeah, it was an emotional moment. It was the main event. Was
yes.
So
and should absolutely have been.
Like the moment we were out, I ran out there so I could be like part of the moment too.
I'm really at a loss of words for tonight and how special this was for me. Firstly, thank you everybody for this weather, sticking out through the rain, for the whole show. Thank you for being here. Thank you. This independent professional wrestling lives and breathes thanks to you guys.
And yeah, it's something that I'm going to cherish, that I got to be a part of that moment. Another moment I got to be a part of was the Cyberhawks versus the Colony. These are two teams that I've known for a very long time, back in the Chikara days. And Worker Ant is someone that I've known for a very, very long time. The first match I ever commentated was a Worker Ant match. Before he was Worker Ant. And I've known him for quite some time. And he had been out of wrestling for 5 years. And I called his last match. And now I called his first match back. I also ended up calling his second match back, but that's for later. But it was great to have Worker Ant back. Just super nice guy. Hard worker, believe it or not, that Worker Ant. And just like a great like guy to have in the locker room.
It was, and I loved their entrance because Ultimo and Electro came into their current music.
Yes.
And then Worker didn't go out with them. And then Dave Matthews Band's Ants Go Marching came
Ants
on.
Ants Go Marching came on, yeah.
And thank God I was not standing closer to the tent when this happened. Because I start guffawing.
Yeah.
Because it's the, like, I'm not expecting it. Like, I probably should have been. Mm-hmm. But at that point in the show, I was a little fried. So I just start cracking up.
Yeah, it was very funny. And they put on a fantastic match. Shout out, especially for this one, to the crew of IWTV.
Yes.
Some of the shots in that match were expertly done. There is a great moment where the colony kind of falls into disarray and has an argument. And Ultimo turns around and the camera moves slightly and all the Cyberhawks are there.
And he doesn't want his win to be tarnished by tactics like that.
Interesting here as we see the tag team partners arguing now. As you said, Worker Ant does not want to win like that. Oh, no!
All the Cyberhawks were there!
Yeah. Like, that camera reveal was so well done, and I was so, like, happy to see it. So, that was really incredible. And just very happy about WrestleJohn.
It was a really... I know it was the first show, but I remember leaving the show and having that moment of, like, man... It's going to be hard to top that for the rest of the week. I enjoyed being there so much. I mean, I'm looking at this card because I pulled up the card.
Yes.
Because I have everything in front of me.
Of course you do.
So, I mean, even things we didn't talk about. First match is Paul London versus Speedball Mike Bailey.
Yes. That was great. It was such a fantastic match. And Paul London, the energy that he puts out is so insane. Because like I said, I was dressed as Loki in a suit. I was doing suit Loki. And he just kept calling me Edward Nigma.
Yes.
Because he thought it was more of a Riddler suit, which would come later. And it got to the point where every time he saw me, he was like, this guy, Edward Nigma. And then he'd punch me. I'm like, ah, yeah, Paul London. All right, ow.
He was so pleasant and so kind,
mm-hmm.
and had time for everyone in the locker room. It was, this show had such a lovely feeling to it. Yes. It's one of my favorite locker rooms I've ever worked in. I don't have enough good things to say about Sean Henderson and Billy Avery,
mm-hmm.
Did such an amazing job putting these two shows together. Yeah. It's hard to say just this one show because they also did a great job putting Euphoria together.
Yes. Before we move on to Euphoria, I want to shout out to the Opinion City podcasts,
mm-hmm.
Because I jumped on the WrestleJohn post-show podcast, and it was a fantastic time. I don't think it's up. Like, I'm looking at their YouTube page right now, and I see the WrestleJohn pre-show, the Euphoria pre-show, and the Euphoria post-show. Maybe my appearance was so bad that they just got rid of it.
Oh.
But I jumped on just kind of to be silly. I saw that they were recording, and I was just kind of making faces in the background. And it quickly became like, here's a microphone. So that was super fun, and I really appreciate, you know, getting the chance to hang out and talk wrestling.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah.
So, do you want to move on to Euphoria now?
Yeah, I have the warm fuzzies about WrestleJohn. It was just such a good show to be part of. It was just a... I can't wait to... I really want to sit down and rewatch it, yeah. Which I have not had the time to do yet. Part of my role that I was doing is the entrance was like through a small creepy alley and a labyrinth.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I was doing was bringing people up through that because it wasn't all that intuitive. So there's something about being the person who's with them right before they come out.
Yeah.
And like, I get to see that change in energy in a way that like a lot of people don't, of like watching, you know, your friend become the character.
Yeah.
And it's just such a cool, magical thing to get to do.
Yeah.
And it's one of, like, this was an all-time favorite show for me to have worked on.
Yeah.
And so, like, so much love to Sean Henderson and Billy Avery for letting me come hang out.
To also speak on that, I just want to mention that because of Laura's role and my role, Laura and I didn't talk much this week. So it's nice to sit down and like see you.
Hi. We were in the car. Like we shared a car.
We shared a car
for some shows.
But in the car we were very tired from the show.
Yeah.
So Euphoria was another fantastic show. The big standout match for me would be Daniel Makabe versus Edith Surreal, which I think might be my favorite match of the week.
Such a good, just technical match.
Told an amazing story.
They're two incredible performers.
Yes, it was more of a methodical match. Like, I don't even think they left the ring. I don't even think they ascended to the top rope. It was just like a mat classic.
Yeah, I mean, they're both just so technical and so precise. I will never have enough good things to say about Edith Surreal. She's just so cool.
Yeah, she is spectacular. One of my regrets of the week is that I did not get a picture with Daniel Makabe. One, because he's retiring. Two, because he looks like me.
You do look a bit alike. Which,
very similar looking.
I had a few moments that were almost incredibly awkward because I did almost go up to him once or twice. Thinking he was you, and then being like, "What? Bye."
Edith introduced me to him since I was going to be doing commentary, and Edith was like, "This is Daniel Makabe," and I said, "I know he's the handsome me." So that was my brief interaction with Daniel Makabe, who was, man, I had just learned about him, and now he's retiring. Like,
he's from Canada, so we hadn't gotten to like really interact with him much.
Right.
He's just so cool.
He's such a cool guy. And like, he knows how to tell a story in the ring. It's, you know, it's not always like to get, you know, to turn into that type of podcaster. It's not about flippy dippy stuff. It's about telling stories in between the ropes. But Daniel Makabe's really good at that.
And so was Edith Surreal.
And so is Edith Surreal, yes.
I saw her in a few things, because I've actually, like, I've seen some clips from Big Gay Brunch, and I've seen some of the Cluster Cuss.
Yes.
And when she shows up in the Cluster Cuss, I'm just like, yay!
It's Edith!
Because I'm so excited. I'm always excited to see her. I don't think I've ever seen her do anything less than magic.
Yeah.
She's so great.
She truly is.
Guys, this is going to be a lot of me just telling you how great people are. Because I have super warm fuzzies from this weekend, and I like a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick someone in Euphoria and decide I hate them. Hold on.
Okay.
Max Zero. No, I'm kidding. Max Zero. Dylan Mesh. I hate Dylan Mesh.
Yeah, Dylan Mesh is a jerk. He was in a scramble match, and he's a jerk. Moving on. but Euphoria was great. It was rough, though, because Russell John was at what, 5?
Yes, 5 p.m.
5 p.m.
And then, raining, and there was lightning while we were setting up.
Yeah, raining and lightning. And then Euphoria the next day was at 1?
Yes.
So there wasn't a lot of sleep time to be had. It was a very tiring experience. And on top of that, immediately after, but we left before the main event.
We left during the main event.
I told the two other guys, I told Joey and Mike, that I was like, you guys can call the main event as long as I get to call Edith Surreal.
Yeah.
And they accepted my terms. So that was a lot of fun. But we immediately then had to head over to Gloucester City for CFU, Combat Fights Unlimited, No Escape.
I wasn't really done talking about Euphoria.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was like, okay, we're done talking about Surreal and Maccabi. Let's talk about the rest of the show.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. What about Euphoria did you want to bring up?
I mean, we're really not going to talk about Mal and Matt Mikowski?
Mal and Matt Mikowski was great. Mal, the DDT champion, took on Matt Mikowski in front of my eyes.
Who's crazy.
Love Matt Mikowski. And we were all backstage talking about how worried we were that Matt was going to win this match, because if he won, he would have to move to Japan. So we were all backstage, like, doing a bit where we were pretending to be Matt Mikowski explaining to his wife and children, like, listen, had a really successful WrestleMania. We're going to have to move and learn a new language.
Oh, my God. And we had, there was a three-way match that took years off my life.
See, I didn't get to see this.
So, in both shows, there was a gimmicked board. There was a styrofoam board shoved with plastic forks.
Yes.
And both days, I looked at that and went, oh, no.
Yeah.
And
gimmicked is a weird word for that. Built.
Yeah, I guess it...
Like, there was no trick to it.
No,
you're
right.
There was just plastic forks in a thing.
Plastic forks shoved in a styrofoam board. And there was also thumbtacks.
Yes.
And, gentle listeners, everybody has their line, minus thumbtacks. I don't like them. They weird me out. It's not my thing. Everyone gets to choose where that boundary is for them.
Yeah.
So, Tim Donst gets thumbtacks everywhere. And then asks me a question backstage.
Mm-hmm.
Gentle listeners, I cannot tell you what this man asked me.
For there were thumbtacks about his face.
You know in Austin Powers, when Austin Powers looks at Fred Savage's character and goes, moly, 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 moly. That's all I could think of was thumbtacks, 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 thumbtacks.
Thumbtacks in your face.
Another wrestler saw me and starts cracking up because he can... read, like, in my face that I have no idea what's being said to me because I can only, like, register thumbtacks.
Yeah.
And then there was a title defense of the citywide title between Cheeseburger and Dan Champion.
Yes.
And there was a very fun moment where they started playing Dan Champion's old music, which was born in the USA.
Yeah, I want to stress this. From commentary, I couldn't hear anything. So I'm learning information right now.
And he was like, no, play Born to Run. Which, they had no way of hearing him say this. Because he's saying it at about the volume I just did.
Yeah.
The music stops abruptly. And then Born to Run starts. And he goes, yay.
Yay.
And he just, like, goes out and Dan Champions.
Yeah.
He's ultimately unsuccessful. And Cheeseburger retains. But it was just like this... And it started to rain midway through Euphoria. Because Euphoria starts out in the sun. Because we were actually like, oh, what...
Euphoric, even.
We were like, oh, I guess we could take the tent down. Good thing we didn't take the tent down.
Yeah, could you imagine?
So I definitely had this moment standing out in like the pouring rain as Born to Run plays. Where I was like, I get to do this.
Yeah.
Like, this is a good day. Like, and that's a weird thing of like, this was a good day. And just... so much good wrestling, and yay.
I also want to mention that there was a different death match that happened on this show where somebody brought Pokemon cards.
Yes!
And was using them to give paper cuts. And I later got the Pokemon cards. So I have a new Murkrow. I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, I got the, what doggy did? I got Grievard.
The candle puppy?
Yeah, candle doggy. I was like, what's his name? Candle puppy. Mm-hmm. I got a Grievard. I didn't have to do anything for it. Somebody just handed it to me backstage. I was like, yay! So it was really fun. Just Surreal and Makabe was incredible. Just so many different styles, so many different, like, just moments. It was so good.
Yes.
Yay. And then during the main, we had to leave because it was Baby's first double shot.
Yes. We headed over to Combat Fights Unlimited in Gloucester City, which was a double show with Super Crazy.
Yes.
And Laura was backstage doing her show running thing, and I was a judge. This was the only time I was really amongst the people that I had scheduled. And I wore easily my worst suit. I yes. wore a bright orange suit with a blue shirt meant to invoke Goku. And it's a suit that I had for a long time and thus did not try on. And when I got there, I was like, these pants are tight. Pants are real tight.
And you had to sit.
And I'm going to sit here. But it was me, Rosaria, and Allison Kay.
Rosaria Elsa, who is amazing.
Yes. Rosaria is great. And Allison Kay is a former Impact Women's Champion. Or women, or what do they say? Knockout Champion.
Yes.
And we were just judging the show because CFU works a lot like an MMA style where if the time limit runs out, we make a call. So we were just sitting there making notes and talking, which was fun. Laura was backstage having a party.
I was not having a party. I was attending a party. The Super Crazy is built a little bit differently than a lot of the places I've been to and has a dedicated women's locker room, which was really nice. And had, I believe, Kennedy Hardcastle said slumber party vibes. Mm-hmm. So, like, between tasks, like, it was just kind of like these moments where you would just hang out.
Yeah.
And it was, like, just a very positive, like, supportive atmosphere until the intermission.
Yes.
So when intermission changes moves or is cut, it is best practices to tell the locker room.
To tell anyone.
So we hear Samira, who is
the ring announcer.
Who is cage announcing, mm-hmm. start to announce this six-woman match. Now all six women, me, and the main eventers, all think intermission's about to happen.
Yeah.
So we're actually just kind of like, you know, I'm helping with gear. We're just kind of like talking through what's going to happen. And then everybody says a different swear word and runs.
Yeah.
I don't think the audience could tell.
Everyone, because on top of that, everyone came out to the same song.
Yes.
Rather than there being entrances. So everyone just had to like quickly get stuff together and stroll out. And yeah, I didn't know anything was up. Because Samira had come up to me and said, there's no intermission. So I was not expecting an intermission.
And no one said anything to anyone backstage. Not in either of the locker rooms. I mean, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, it's live theater, baby.
But you never... Like I said, I'm telling this story as a cute little anecdote because the show was fine. You would never be able to tell.
Yes.
It was a fun show.
Yeah. I just want to bring up, because I had been watching wrestling along with all the wrestling that I attended, and there's a wrestler in the independents named Marcus Mathers, who I believe ended up wrestling 12 times.
Oh my goodness.
Over the week. So I'm complaining. He had 12 matches. And one of them was at this show. And I was like, oh, I'm finally going to get to meet Marcus Mathers. And he wrestled his match and disappeared. And I was like, oh, no.
This is not going to help, but he's lovely.
I didn't get to meet him.
You're going to get really tired of me being like, they're so great. He's lovely. She's wonderful. But everybody I worked with this weekend was. Sorry if you were like, oh, yeah, backstage drama. No.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, no, intermission moved and everything was fine. We just all said a swear backstage. Like, the only thing that was really chaotic about that show was everybody was double-shotting one show or another.
Yes.
Everyone was either coming from Euphoria or was going to the Smash Master Wrestling show, which had to move their times back. Mm-hmm. They had originally been bell time at, I want to say, 10, but owing to noise ordinances in the area, had to move their bell time up to 8.
Yes.
So everyone who was double booked was suddenly in much more of a time crunch than they had originally thought they would be. So it was a little bit chaotic to be like, okay, who needs to get out? Who needs to ride with whom? You know, let's make sure this promo gets filmed so you can get right out. So it was that kind of chaos. The show itself, there was no one I really had trouble, like, please go out, like, no, you don't have time. Although
most people want to wrestle, so, like, they're happy to go wrestle when you tell them to.
The single most common question I got this weekend was, do I have time to pee?
And the answer was often no.
The answer was almost always no.
No, there's no time to pee. You have to go wrestle and then pee.
I believe there was one point where it was, like, right before, like, a scramble was about to happen in the next match, and I was like, they're still on entrances. You do have time to pee.
You might be able to pee.
I was like, yes, you may go. That being said, once or twice somebody went anyway and made it back.
Yeah, wrestlers.
There's one person where I was like, how? Because they made it back in like a suspiciously short amount of time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't actually remember who it was. But somebody made it back in like to the bathroom, which was not nearby, and back in under a minute. And I was like, I'm not even mad.
Yeah, that's impressive.
How?
Then on Friday, we went to Suplex.
I went to my job.
Yeah, Laura went to her job. I did some cleaning. And then we went to Suplex on South Street and did a little bit of stand-up comedy.
Yes.
So yes, we're multifaceted this week. It was Suplex Mania Presents Friday Night Laughdown.
Yeah.
It was probably the most difficult time slot because we were up against SmackDown.
Supercard of Honor.
Supercard of Honor and Bloodsport?
No, Bloodsport was, I believe, Thursday night.
Okay. We were up against something at the Collective. Maybe DDT or Progress? That sounds correct.
I'm pulling up the Collective schedule right now because now it's going to bother me. We were up against Spring Break.
Spring Break, yes. Where Matt Cardona fought Blue Kane. So, needless to say, I was really worried about this show. Suplex, fantastic store. All your vintage wrestling needs are available. And lots of video games. They had the WrestleMania machine, and they also had, like, a Nintendo 64 and a GameCube and a Sega Genesis just out with wrestling games in it. Very cool. And
there was a head.
There was a signed Al Snow head. We could probably spend a lot of time just talking about cool stuff we saw.
Yeah.
And
there was a picture of Stone Cold stunning Santa.
Yes.
Which, you know, was nice foreshadowing for the Santa deserved it sign at WrestleMania. Yeah,
exactly. And in the end, it drew pretty well. Like, we had a decent crowd. Shout outs to our good friends Otar, Sawyer, and Amos, who we saw quite a bit of this week.
Yes, and like, I often didn't get to talk to them as much as I would have liked to.
Yes, I greatly appreciate the support. Otar was apparently on Thursday wearing a Blood Drive shirt. So I could see it and be amazed, and we never got to cross paths.
No.
But they came to the show along with some other folks, and we had a really fun stand-up comedy show. I got to host. Laura got to do comedy.
Yes.
And some other fantastic people. Michael Beavers was there, Brooke Tomlinson, Andrew Boss, who I called by his worker name instead of his comedy name. But like super cool place to do comedy. Like it was on South Street and like real intimate room. Like yeah. Very fun.
All the seats comedy. Were pay-per-view chairs.
Yes. And we all came out to wrestling themes.
Yeah, I got to come out to AJ Lee's theme. So that was the only time anyone got to hear that music that weekend.
Yeah. We all got to pick our music. And I
of course, picked AJ Lee's theme.
Yeah, AJ Lee, fantastic choice. I went with Bobby Roode's Glorious, forgetting about how long of an beginning part there is to that. And, you know, wrestlers have a big, long ramp to walk down. I was like... 3 steps away from the stage when they called my name.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I should probably wait for this to say glorious once. But fantastic show. And I started chatting up the owners a bit. And they were doing a big block party on Saturday. And I was like, oh, do you need a Scott Holiday there? And they were like, maybe. And I was like, all right, Scott Holiday's going to be there.
Yay.
So this was our first ever split up.
Yeah, we've never taken a gig separately before. I mean, there's been a lot of gigs you've taken without me.
Yes.
I believe this was the first gig I had taken entirely without you.
Yeah, where you were elsewhere.
Yeah.
So Lara went to Thrashylvania.
Yes.
And I went to Suplex Mania. How was Thrash?
Thrashylvania was... I said this online already. It's such a great... show to introduce your friends to indie wrestling because it's such a good sampler platter. It's got every different kind of wrestling. There were representatives from Dragon Gate. Mm-hmm. There were so many title defenses. There's there's tag team wrestling. There's Joshi. There's Shenanigans with the Goons. Mm-hmm. So it's there's some of the coolest tag team wrestling I've ever seen was in the Brandon Kirk and Casey Catal versus Lainey Luck and GPA match.
Yeah.
There's a couple moves where I'm just like, that's just so cool. That's just so cool. Oh my God, that was just so cool. So just like stupid, like the kind of thing where there were a few things where I was getting to watch it and like I just got to be excited about
it. Yeah, you got to be a fan for a bit.
Yeah, and like it was a show that really reminded me why I love it so much. There were so many different styles. Everything had these little... because it wasn't super long-term storytelling. So everybody just got to come out and do them.
Yeah.
Like you didn't have to like be like, well, 6 months ago, if you remember... Like, it was more of, yeah, we're going to do this. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And it was fun. There was a Wrestler's Lab Championship and Chocolate City Championship where the winner takes all. And then that fell apart.
Yeah.
I mean, Goons, man.
Goons, man. Goons, man.
Miles Millennium got involved. Then Trevor Aeon showed up. And I haven't gotten to watch it back yet, but I think there's a moment after Trevor Aeon shows up where I, in all my infinite wisdom, follow him. What am I going to do?
Lara's on you. You better be careful.
Like, just full stage manager, like, oh no!
Yeah, a few people have asked me things like, have you watched it back yet? And I've just responded like, I have been watching so much wrestling. I have not gotten a chance to re-watch anything.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to watch as much back as I had hoped.
Yeah.
I did get to see a lot of... Thrashylvania was at H2O, which has a really lovely setup. And so I got to... you could see it on a clearer monitor than in most shows.
Oh, okay.
So there was a lot of stuff I actually got to watch from backstage.
Cool.
Which was very nice. It was very nice to be able to, like... watch some bits of some matches. Like, there was very seldom a match I could watch in its entirety. Because there were people who refused to be located. They remained nameless. But there were people I could just never find. So, I did spend a significant amount of time searching for specific people. I did joke that I was a Weber Wrangler.
Yeah. He'll get away. He's elusive.
But he never misses a cue ever.
Yeah.
It's just he's so high energy that you're like, Weber, come back here. And you got to do Suplex Mania, which
I got to do Suplex
Mania. I did actually see some of backstage because I opened my phone to like look at something and I could see it on Instagram and I was like, oh, that's pretty rad.
Suplex Mania was like a blur. Like, I got to do it with one of the workers of Suplex, one of the higher ups of Suplex. His name was J.A. and Anthony Blackwell Jr., who's a good buddy of mine. I did his podcast as well. You can look for 5 Questions with Scott Holiday coming out soon. And it was just like, I wasn't doing it, and then I was, and then I wasn't, and then I was. It was the only show that I did without a Laura Crane there, so I kind of fell into the Laura Crane role. So production leaned on me a bit, like, can you get me graphics? Can you get me the hashtag? So I was like running around doing all this other stuff. And then when it was official that I was going to do it, I was like standing there in my Farfetch'd hoodie. And which, by the way, got a lot of compliments on that.
Yeah.
And as I was standing there, it kind of dawned on me that my suit was in my car. And this was the only show where I was going to be, like, seen by people. And I was like, if this is the one show that people see me and I'm not in a suit, I'm going to be furious with myself. So Suplex is on 6th. I ran back to my car on 11th.
Oh, boy.
Got my suit and ran back. And then did the whole show standing up in my Sailor Moon suit, which has bright red dress shoes that are not good for standing in. But like within all the blur, like all of a sudden it was go time. We did a battle royal or a kind of a Royal Rumble. We called it like the Philly Scramble or something like that. And Worker Ant was in that one as well. So that was good to see Worker Ant again. Billy Avery, Thunder Frog. It was a really fun time. And then it was Marcus Mathers versus Nick Wayne.
That's insane.
And it was so weird because, like, I was there for the meeting and did not see either of these individuals there. So I had no idea that this match was happening. And then I was like, oh, I guess I'm calling this.
Yeah.
So I got to call a Marcus Mathers versus Nick Wayne. If you don't know who Nick Wayne is, he's the Prodigy. He's currently part of the Patriarchy in AEW under the leadership of the evil Christian Cage. But he is so masterful, is Nick Wayne. So young.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's 20.
Oh.
Yeah, something like, because he was the youngest signee, besides Negative One, to AEW, where they signed him and they were like, you can wrestle here once you're old enough.
Yeah, because I believe Billy Starks was already 18.
Yes.
And I believe Nick Wayne was signed prior to turning 18, essentially like as soon as you turn 18.
Yeah, you could be here. And the idea that you have this like young kid from TV show up and still he could find a way to get booed was incredible. Him and Marcus Mathers had an amazing show, and I didn't get to shake either of their hands, so I still didn't get to meet Marcus Mathers.
So Marcus Mathers was double-shotting that day?
Yes.
And after Suplex Mania, he came to H2O because he was on the Dragon Gate ETU show. So I did.
And he's wonderful?
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
So I just think it's funny that in my usual failing up, I'm like, how are you doing? If I'd known that you had been actively trying to meet him, I would have asked for a picture to make it extra funny.
If you follow Scott Holiday on Twitter, I always keep like a running tally of what I think the top matches are as I'm watching them. And Marcus Mathers was like the first match I watched and it was dope. So it's been on the list for a while, and I just keep tagging him, and we kind of keep talking about it. So we're Twitter friends, but I've never gotten to meet the man himself, despite constantly seeing him this week. So that's a bit of a bummer. But yeah, it was very much a surprise that I got to call Suplex, and like a lot of the people that I'm friendly with were there. I got to call a Griffin McCoy match. I got to call a post game versus the rep. So it was good to see some buddies there. Some really good stuff at Suplex Mania, all outside on the streets of Philadelphia on South Street. Like, there's a moment where I was like looking around and like I was at ringside, and then everywhere I looked, it was just people. Like, I didn't know where the people ended. And then, like, I looked up and I was like, there are people on the roofs. So, like, because
that is so cool.
This is wild. So, that was, yeah, that was something special. And then we wrap up with some superpowers of wrestling. Where.
Oh, I do want to say one more thing about Thrashylvania. The show was a fundraiser in honor of Megan Thrash, who passed away last year of cholangiocarcinoma.
Yes.
And they did reach their $5,000 goal for fundraising, which was a really nice thing.
Yeah.
To have that moment and to see that. And it was a really, really special show.
Yeah. And you can watch it right now on IWTV?
And all the IWTV proceeds will also be donated to the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes. So if you watch it, please watch it.
Yeah, watch it on IWTV.
Watch it. Just leave it on in the background so more money gets donated.
Yes, exactly. Suplex Mania is supposed to be there eventually, but it's currently not. But maybe by the time this podcast goes live, you'll be able to watch that as well.
I believe both Labor of Love / Shawn Henderson Presents shows are.
Yes, they are both actively live.
Yeah.
So then we end at Superpowers of Wrestling. We got to see Homicide versus Too Cold Scorpio, which are two legends of the business. They tore it up for the SPO Championship. And then we got a bonus match when Channing Decker cashed in his opportunity and stole the title. And this was great because I got to call the action with Phil Stamper, the president of wrestling, who is a big teddy bear. And we were on camera the whole time. Like, it kind of looked like a Twitch stream. You can watch it on YouTube right now. And we're just always on camera. And there were people at the show that were also watching it on their phones, and so that they could like talk to us while we were doing it. So we made them like buy us sodas. Like, go get us a Diet Coke.
You asked and they were kind enough to do so.
So that was really fun. It was a shorter show just because we had to get home for WrestleMania. But had a lot of fun there.
The two of you were so clearly at the very end of a long weekend.
Yeah, everybody was.
I just mean in commentary, there's a few times where you're like a little loopy.
Little loopy. A large portion of the roster there was at the Independent Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yes.
So like they were all showing up late. So, which real quick, congratulations goes out to Steve Carino for being in the Independent Wrestling Hall of Fame, who I used to do stand-up comedy with. It's a small world. And shout-outs to Colby Carino for being awesome all week.
Yeah, and again, lovely.
Yes.
Because I had to get Colby's ring announce information while his children were beating him up in the ring.
Yes, because
what was great was when Colby stopped to give me his ring announce information, his kids got ring psychology. Because they saw he was distracted and they capitalized.
What's amazing to me about this moment,
it was adorable,
is Colby Carino was in the ring wrestling his son, who was, I don't know, six? Like, young kid. Throwing Hurricane Ranas and all this stuff. And like, they were just bouncing off the ropes. Like, it was very nice. But it's like, especially touching to me, because I remember watching a video where Colby's dad, Steve, was working for a company and he promised a secret or a surprise partner, mystery partner.
Yeah.
And the day of the show came and Taz's music played. And out came 7-year-old Kobe Corino. Colby Carino tagged with his dad at a show at 7 years old and won the title. And I remember like watching this with my friend Gabby, and I was like, wait, he wins the title? And like she popped the tape out and put in the next tape. And then the next tape, Colby Carino at 7 years old defends the title without his dad.
Oh my God.
I was like, what's happening here? So to see, to know where Colby came from and then to like see him doing it, I was like, this is really cute. But I can't go up to Colby Carino and say, hey, your wrestling's really cute right now.
I can. And I did. because if I say it's cute, nobody, because like I have the general demeanor of someone who will say nearly anything is cute. So nobody blinks twice. I'm like, oh. Because I will also all completely bizarre things.
And one last thing I'll say about SPO is I wore the Riddler suit.
Yes.
Because Riddler was supposed to be the last day. It was supposed to be the first day. It was a suit that meant to look like the Riddler because I knew that Burlington Batman was going to be there. And I was like, oh, I got to get a picture with Batman. And I never got my picture with Batman dressed as the Riddler.
If there's one human being I tripped over 1,000 times during that show, yeah, it was Burlington Batman.
I definitely had the opportunity to do it.
It just
didn't happen.
We were just in each other's way constantly.
We were also just like so tired. And I'm not sure if you know this, but you know who Burlington Batman is?
No.
Marcus Mathers.
Oh.
So I wasn't able to meet him. I'm kidding.
That's hilarious because if you know what Burlington Batman looks like, I can't think of someone who looks less like Marcus Mathers.
So yeah, those are my disappointments, is that I didn't get a picture with Daniel Maccabi, Batman, and Marcus Mathers. And then I guess briefly, do you want to talk about actual WrestleMania? In case that's the reason somebody listened to this podcast.
Oh yeah, why would you do that? Yeah, for night one, the tag team Kingsglaive showed up at our house.
Yeah, they were like, you're throwing a party. We're like, oh, okay.
So if you hear rustling in the background, it's because I didn't take the tablecloth off before Noah put the microphone up. So yes, that's just there now.
I would say overall, and this is strange, did not enjoy WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was solidly fine.
Because at the end of night one, I was like, this is solidly okay. I thought probably the match of the night was Becky versus Rhea.
Yeah.
Which I found out like, Becky had 101 temperature during that?
Yeah.
Because, like, I heard she had strep, but I didn't know, like, she was... Like, I thought she was recovering from strep, not actively suffering from strep. So to have that match with Rhea is, like, very impressive. But I felt like, overall, every match was... They fought, they got frustrated, they did a spot on the table, and then they kicked out of a bunch of finishers, and then the match was over.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I kept seeing that.
Yeah, and I really felt like Cody finishing the story was so overbooked.
Yes. It was definitely like, you know, we had 5 run-ins?
Something like that. Something absurd.
Because, like, Jimmy Uso... Let's count. Jimmy Uso came out to help Roman, so Jey Uso came out to help Roman. Or to help Cody.
Yeah.
So then Solo came out to help Cody.
Then no. Seth came out. Then Solo came out to help Roman. Then Seth came out to help Cody.
Yeah. Then The Rock came out to help Roman.
Then Cena came out to help Cody.
And then...
The Undertaker showed up.
Then The Undertaker showed up. Like, it was... So much happened.
Yeah.
And it was like... I know everyone was like, finally, it's a new era. It was very much planned that the final words that Michael Cole says are, I love professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Because wrestling was kind of a dirty word that you didn't say. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
And like everyone kind of felt that moment. And I sat there and I was tweeting like, I really want to feel this moment. But I really feel like at the end of the day, what we learned is Cody couldn't beat Roman alone.
There, what I really would have liked from that, and this is just me, you know, fan fiction writing, I would have liked it to be presented in a way that no one made it to the ring to interfere.
Yes.
It's not like they kept hitting Cody or hitting Roman. It's, you know, Jimmy comes out, Jay comes out.
Yeah.
Like... And almost this just like on your list, almost this, it would have held so much tension.
Yeah. If no one made it to the ring.
And like have these people come out and have this tension build. Then you have a moment where all hell breaks loose, but only Cody and Roman are ever in the ring.
Yeah. That I think would have been much more effective. And also I just like, this is a small thing, but I've really felt bad for the last 2 years for Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
Because Bobby Lashley, like, was in the first match back from COVID against Drew. And he won. And everyone's reaction to it was like, wait, what's happening? Because everyone thought this was going to be Drew's moment.
Yeah.
So, like, everyone kind of had a weird reaction to Bobby. But, like, Bobby deserved it. And Bobby was doing a lot of good stuff. And then the next year, he didn't make it on WrestleMania.
So strange.
He won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal on SmackDown. And he got to come out and like shake it at the crowd. Like, look, I did it. So I really wanted a good moment for Bobby at this WrestleMania. And it was him and the Street Profits versus Kieran Cross and what are they, the book people called? Authors of Pain.
The book people.
The book people. Bebop and Rocksteady. And they had like a fun street fight, but the referee was Bubba Ray Dudley because Philly. And it ended with like Dudley Boy spots. And there was just this feeling of like, can we just give Bobby a moment? He's been pretty loyal to the company for a while now. Like,
it'd be pretty cool.
So I think that's everything I have to say about the week. And for some reason, outside is getting louder and louder. So I think we have to wrap this one up.
Yeah.
So any final thoughts you wanted to say here?
I love you guys and I had a great time.
Yay. Thank you so much for your patience as we get through this insane week. We'll be back with Welcome to Englandtonville. We mentioned it last time and I mispronounced it then too. So the same mispronounced show will happen next week. Thank you so much for watching. If you want to support us, you can head over to patreon.com/plus2comedy. Where can people find us?
You can email us at thestaydoomedshow@gmail.com or on Facebook and Twitter at Stay Doomed.
And if you want to talk about professional wrestling, you can follow me on Twitter at @_ScottHoliday.
And if you want to just talk about the people you like and the thing you like to do, I'm at Priorities. Until next time, stay doomed.